All of us have sinful family members that have stepped away from the faith. How do we speak to them? How do we speak to them about the faith? How do we convert them? The following more than 400-year-old purgatory story from the 1600s will change forever how you speak to your sinful family members, how you convert them and lead them back into the faith. Listen to this. Among the many examples intended to inspire compassion for those who have died, especially those who suffered execution at the hands of earthly justice and now undergo purification in purgatory, few are more moving than the one that follows. Around the year 1620, there lived in the vicinity of Rome a young man whose name history has not preserved, though his remarkable conversion has been handed down. His life had become so dissolute and scandalous that he was regarded with horror for all who knew him. His crimes had earned him powerful enemies who sought every opportunity to destroy him, whether by ambush or by open violence. Yet amid all his disorders, one admirable virtue remained. He had preserved a sincere compassion for the souls in purgatory. He frequently prayed for them, generously gave alms on their behalf, and from time to time had masses offered for their repose. This humble devotion, almost forgotten amid the rest of his life, would become the means by which God preserved both his soul from eternal ruin and his body from violent death. The young man rode alone one evening toward Tivoli. Confident in the speed of his horse, he believed he could easily escape those who sought his life. What he did not know was that he was riding directly into an ambush. His enemies, certain that he must pass along that road, had concealed four men behind a hedge, determined to kill the moment he appeared. As he approached the fatal spot, he passed beneath a great oak tree. Suspended from its branches were the dismembered remains of a criminal who had recently been executed. According to the custom of the time, the body had been left exposed as a warning to evildoers. Deeply moved with compassion, the young man halted his horse. He paused only for a few moments, wishing to offer a prayer for the repose of that unfortunate soul. While he prayed, something astonishing unfolded before his eyes. The scattered limbs of the dead man began to move. One after another, they fell from the branches to the ground before his astonished gaze. They came together again, joined perfectly until they formed once more the complete body of a man. The restored figure rose to its feet and walked toward him. Who can imagine the terror that seized the young traveler? The mysterious stranger approached quietly, took hold of its horse's bridles, and said, "Dismount, and allow me to ride for your horse for a little while. It concerns your safety. Wait here. I shall return immediately." The young man, speechless with fear, dared not refuse. He descended from his horse and surrendered the reins. The mysterious figure mounted and rode swiftly down the very road the young man himself had intended to follow. A short distance away, the assassins caught sight of the approaching rider. Believing him to be their intended victim, they fired all their weapons at once. The rider fell from the horse. Satisfied that their work was done, the murderers fled at once, fearing that the sound of the gunfire might attract attention and lead to their capture. But scarcely had they disappeared when the dead man rose unharmed from the ground. Leading the horse by its bridle, he calmly returned to the astonished young man. When he reached him, he said, "Did you hear those gunshots? They were meant for you. Without the protection granted through the charity you have shown to the souls in purgatory, you would have certainly perished, both in body and in soul. Those holy souls for whom you have prayed and offered works of mercy obtained from God permission to send me to your assistance. Continue, therefore, to pray for them, but above all, change your life. Become a faithful servant of God." Having spoken these words, the extraordinary messenger began once more to fall apart, his body separated into the same four portions that had first descended from the oak. Each piece returned to its former place upon the branches. As though guided there by an invisible hand, the miracle ended. The young man departed, overwhelmed with gratitude and profound reflection. The warning had pierced his heart. Within a few days, he abandoned his former life entirely. Seeking true repentance, he entered a strict religious order where he devoted himself to penance and the service of God. There he persevered faithfully until death, repairing through a life of holiness the scandals of his former years and securing the salvation of his soul, which had once stood in such grave danger. What more powerful encouragement could there be to foster the devotion to the holy souls? Those holy souls, though unable to help themselves during their purification, never forget the charity shown them by the faithful on earth. When divine providence permits, they become generous benefactors of those who have remembered them in their sufferings. How true then are the words of sacred scripture? The merciful man does good to his own soul. Proverbs 11:17. I have had the holy souls grant me so many mercies that despite that story sounding like science fiction, it's easy for me to believe that that can happen. I believe that that's probably not even one of the upper top 10 miracles that the holy souls have obtained for those who've prayed for them. That's like a minor one, because I've seen such wonders that they have done. So you see, when we come to our sinful family members, often when we tell them repent, go to church, etc., all the stuff that we tell them, all the arguments that you hear on social media, they're probably not going to convince them. Those arguments really are for the faithful to understand the church, the teachings more. They never really, hardly ever convince people, because people are stuck in their sin. And if that's the case, if you have a stubborn, sinful family member, then you can at least tell them this, look, that you're not going to go to church, that you're going to stay in your sin, that you're going to keep doing this, this, and that. But at least, can you do one thing? At least, do you believe in ghosts? Do you believe that when people die, maybe they're not perfect enough to go to heaven? Can you relate to that? Can you at least pray for the dead? Pray for the souls in purgatory? At least do that. Because if you at least do this one kind thing, maybe God will have mercy on you at some point in your life. Or whatever way for you to describe to them essentially that, at least pray for the souls in purgatory. When you pass a cemetery, when you pass a cross on the highway, just say a prayer. If you're not going to go to church, fine. Have it your way. But at least remember the souls in purgatory, because it may come back to be a blessing in your life. You could try telling them that story. They probably won't believe you. And if you can convince them, if you can convince them of doing that simple thing that sometimes even Catholics don't do, but maybe if they do that, then in their moment of need, the mercy that they had will be poured out onto them, and their soul, maybe even their body, will be saved because of the mercy that they had. This is incredible. We can't always convince people to love Jesus, to love Mary. Maybe there's a lot of emotional connections there that just make all that distasteful to them. We may not always convince them to stop having sex, stop drinking, stop looking at pornography, all the typical sins of our age. But if we can convince them to have this type of mercy on those that are in need, then we can give them to Jesus in this way. Pass this message along so that we can both help the souls in purgatory and help those sinful family members of ours. And if you're asking the question, but if a person is in mortal sin, can they even pray for the dead? I don't know where. I'm going to post it right here. St. Thomas Aquinas addresses this question. And he essentially says that even though a person be in mortal sin, because of the ability of the recipient to receive the prayer, the souls in purgatory are in a state of grace, and because of the beauty of the intention for those that are suffering a lot, that God will grant these prayers because the recipient can receive it and the intention is noble, and that it may even be an opportunity for grace, even if a person in mortal sin who refuses to go to confession is praying. Isn't that amazing? I hope this has blessed you. Subscribe, like, support the channel through Buy Me a Coffee. Check out this video right here that YouTube suggests, and I'll see you in the next one.